Geekaholics, it's the Bad Tackle Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thanks so much for downloading this episode. Today we've got the old crew back together. We've got myself, Aaron O'Brien. We've got Holly Michelle.
Yes, I'm here too.
And we've got David Duncan.
Ow, my eye. Oh, my eye. Oh, my God.
Ow, my eye.
Don't kill me. They just took my eye. I'll be fine.
Today, guys, we are talking about the fifth episode of the Picard series, Stardust City Rag. This is another episode directed by our man, Jonathan Franks. And the plot finally really starts moving along, I think.
Yeah,
and,
it did.
And a lot of things are revealed here, which are interesting and
equally frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, equally frustrating, too. So that's it's all pretty exciting. Dave, I think you wanted to say something just before we get started, correct?
Yes, I did. I don't know. I had a conversation with Guy and some other people online, and I guess I come out as overly negative about the show. I'm not trying to be negative about the show. I'm just worried that the direction the show is going, and I hope it course corrects and gets to a more hopeful Star Trek, because I guess over this last couple of weeks I've been thinking about it a lot, and for me Star Trek was always like this thing we should be aspiring towards, and it was like always hopeful, and I'm like, I want our future, our children's future to be like Star Trek, where we're working to become better. And Picard doesn't have that anymore. It's just like it's the future is just like it is now. Everything's awful. And I'm just like, I don't want to live in that future anymore. And I guess that's basically my feeling about Picard and Discovery, is that they're going on this like dystopian trend, which is fine. I like dystopian sci-fi, but Star Trek has always been the opposite of dystopian. And if they're course correcting and getting us back to that place, I mean, cool, that'll be a great ride. But if it's going to stay this way, I'm going to be a little bit sad, because, I mean, Star Trek was always what I hoped we could become. And what Roddenberry hoped we could become, which is why it was so inspiring. And this doesn't feel as inspiring as it used to. So that's kind of why I've been worried and not as excited.
Gotcha. And I can see that.
And that's mostly why I have been the way I have been about the show. And I may not have been coming off correctly. Like, I hate it, and I don't hate it. I mean, I don't love it yet, but it doesn't mean I hate it. And I just wanted to kind of, like, put that out there, because, I mean, we did this in our first episode, why we like Star Trek, and I think Aaron and I both said that just that it's such a positive outlook on our future, and, like, it's something where you can hopefully work for it and attain, and in Picard, it's all gone. We don't have that beautiful future anymore.
I think we got, like, a little bit of an example, without getting into spoilers yet, but between 7 and 9 and Picard, the dichotomy between those two.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, it that piece of dialogue makes me scared that we're not going back to helpful track.
But I mean, I see what you're saying, absolutely. But I think that the big story here has to do with the fact that the Federation has kind of taken a wrong turn, and that something's corrupt, and that I think it will turn around, and I think it will be hopeful, but we kind of have to go through the suck first. We have to see how bad it really is.
But that's
but just to interrupt, Dave, we see this happen all throughout different series where, you know, Starfleet admirals become corrupt or whatever. You know?
Well, like an admiral here and there, but this seems like it's like the galaxy as a whole, Starfleet as a whole.
But you know, it's funny because we always think of Starfleet, obviously, in like the, you know, Enterprise crew as being the best of the best. And, you know, here are the shiny example of what everyone could be. But when we go down to a planet, even a Federation planet, it's often, you know, pretty rough.
I thought mostly we went to non-Federation planets. So.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I'm not talking to, like, a regular Federation, like, a established world, like, not planet Earth or Vulcan. But if you go to some small colony or some outpost, it's always, like, people working on the outskirts of
things. Or it's Indians, and we're telling them they have to move off their land.
Let's get off your land.
This land is my land. This land is your land.
It's my land. Anyways, it is concerning, but it's also like he's not in the Starfleet world anymore, so he's got to play different roles, and that's probably very difficult to operate.
Well, but it's not just Picard. I just mean the show in general. Like, Starfleet looks like it's being bad, and they pulled out. I mean, like, granted, this Jad Vash is behind a lot of it, but I don't know. I just. And then with Discovery going into more post-apocalyptic stuff, it just makes me think that we're just moving further and further deeper into the chasm of bad.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe Discovery went to a different dimension like they do, but who knows?
Let's just do quick, just pre-spoiler of what we wanted to say about this episode here. I don't know, Holly, you want to start first? What'd you think about this episode? Just real quick, off the cuff.
I liked the episode. There was even like a side story with Rafi, but it didn't feel, because it took place so close, it didn't feel like a side story. True. So I liked that the whole episode felt like a continuous storyline.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I had some questions about Agnes, the doctor.
Aggie?
That are kind of answered, but also not. Now, and I felt that there was there wasn't much that was comedic in this episode, but it was a good balance. Like, with how, I thought it was an exciting episode, so with how exciting and, like, serious it was at parts, like, there was just a tiny little bit of humor here and there that was useful.
Yeah, and there's enough going on, too, that keeps your interest, and it's not, you know... No scene gets long, too long for me. I watched the episode twice, so I didn't get bored of it, even the second watch. So
yeah.
What about you, Dave?
This was the best episode so far, probably by a lot. I mean, because it did actually advance the plot forward, although it was super frustrating in the ways it did. I still think there's a little bit of time management issue here and there, but overall, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better done. I felt like the Rafi side story was completely useless, and like
useless.
One of the most cliche. I mean, it seemed pretty cliche. I don't know. It just didn't.
Nah, I think we gotta. There's something. We'll get into it, but I think we found out what's going on with Rafi more than anything. So
there were a couple of little things.
Yeah. We'll get into it. There's definitely there's little things we can totally dig into, but I enjoyed the episode. It had a kind of like Ocean's 11 kind of feel, not quite, but a little bit, and it just was fun. I just see like a world like that's in the Star Trek universe. We see it once in a while, but not too often.
Yeah, I mean, I got some specific things I want to say that are my biggest pros and biggest cons, but there's sort of spoilers, or they're more specific than.
Yeah, I don't want to get. Yeah, I'm sure we'll totally get into the whole thing, but let's go into full spoilers. So if you haven't seen Stardust City Rag, you can shut this off, or if you like spoilers, keep us on. And we'll be getting all the breakdowns of this episode. So this is episode 5. Star Trek Picard, and this is first premiered February 20th, 2020. And as I said before, this is directed by our man, your man, everyone's man, Jonathan Frakes.
Ladies man.
So, the ladies man. So we start off a really gruesome start off. Oh, talk about going to the dentist. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So they're at this place called
the eye dentist.
The eye dentist. The ophthalmologist. Oculist. The optimist. they're on a planet called Vergesen. Regisin, and this is the Seven Domes, and we see our old pal Ichib being hacked apart, trying to strip shop or whatever like that.
Yeah.
They're just ripping his Borg implants out.
Strip shop for X-Borgs.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty grisly, and I was just like, what did I just turn on?
I liked how they made it feel super real and really graphic, even though they didn't show, like, they showed an eyeball that was, you know, stretched out, but I liked that they only hinted at the retrieval of the eye. You didn't actually see any of the drilling.
Right.
So that was, I think they did really well when they filmed that scene.
And
they're using their behind a paywall gore, which is good. Good job, Star Trek Picard. You used your behind a paywall thing for good for once.
The only thing is, I was like, you must be like a real sadomasochist to not at least sedate that person.
Right. Like, and she's just like, where's your whatever nerve?
Where's your cortical node?
Yeah,
exactly. The thing is, maybe they're beta Zed. Maybe they want to feel their feelings as they're getting
hacked apart. Why would you want to feel that?
They're masochistic, they're sadist beta Zeds. Because, I mean, I've seen the picture floating around a lot, but the girl, she looks a lot like a young Marinta Sirtis.
She does, yeah. She does.
Are you talking about Bejazel?
Bejesus? Yes, Bejesus.
Bejazel.
She does,
and actually, my security guard at work he thought it was her, and I was like, no, even if it was, she's got a mole, and he's like, I didn't notice a mole. I'm like, well, it's a pretty prominent mole.
It's funny because the Jaisal's kind of like B and then Jay Z and an L, so it's like Beyonce and Jay Z put together, Bejazel.
Bejazel.
That's kind of funny.
At least she had a bedazzled you know outfit.
Yeah, she did. I thought
that was good.
I liked her shoulder pads.
I gotta say, I did too.
Wonderful muscles.
Wonderful shoulder pads.
So, back to Ichib.
Sorry,
being ripped apart, and we find out later that this is Bejazel.
Bejesus.
Well, actually, you find out there because Seven of Nine comes in and she kills everybody, but right before she kills everybody, the tech who's working on Ichib asks if it, Bejazel, is that you?
Yeah, exactly. So this is operation run by her. So when Seven of Nine comes in and kills all these horrible people, grabs Ichib, and I felt a little conflicted by this because it was sort of just like, one is like, I'm sure they could beam him up and maybe he'd be all right, but maybe her ship doesn't have the, because she's a ranger, so maybe she doesn't have like the amenities to you know, help him. Mm-hmm. But he's in a lot of pain. Maybe she did things, took parts out of him that he can't survive without. I don't know.
He was still in his uniform.
The only thing that it looked like she had done was take his eye out.
Something on his chest, too. I saw something in his chest as well.
It could have been a phaser burn, though. It didn't look like an open wound. It looked like a burn or like a
like it
was melted skin. It didn't look like a giant gaping surgical wound where he was.
Well, who knows? I mean, we didn't see, but I mean, ripping someone's eye out of their socket and doing all that.
I mean, yeah, it's certainly true.
There are many pirates with one eye that didn't die.
Anyway, so
I'm just saying it's not something that you always die from, and probably a lot of people have lived without an eye.
Ichib asks to be released from his pain and the death to die.
I need my
pain.
Where was Psylocke when you need him?
Seven of Nine agrees, and she puts a hugs him and then phaser blasts him in the chest while she's hugging him. So
and says, "My child."
My child.
I know there was speculation that this was Chakotay. I'm so glad it was not Chakotay, because I hope she like left him and never looked back and never cared about him again, because I can't stand Chakotay.
I know. We know how you feel about Chakotay. So moving forward from that point, we see Bajazel and hanging out Stardust City in Free Cloud, and when she's brought up one of these reptilian aliens, Vup, I think his name is, and
the Bouncer.
He's a Beta Issa,
something like that. Yeah, and he tells her that Bruce Maddox is here in the building, and she's like, "Oh, kill him!" And then she goes, "Wait, don't kill him yet."
New plan.
And so she goes to.
I have to give him irritable bowel syndrome before he.
Yeah, she goes to sit down with Maddox and offers him a drink. And he's basically...
Tranya.
Tranya.
I hope you relish it as much as I.
So, anyways.
And she finds out that he was running from the Tal Shiar.
Tal Shiar. And they destroyed his lab. They said they destroyed it at the molecular level. So, he just got out with his life, and he's been in hiding for a while.
That's
and apparently,
a soupy lab.
That's a soupy lab you got there.
I hope you got a ladle.
So he said, I don't think I can pay you back my loan, my debt to you. He said Maddox tells us to Bajazel. Anyways, so and she was like, "Oh, don't worry about it." And then after he has the drink, Maddox obviously realizes something wrong with his drink, starts gagging and falls on the floor, has diarrhea, and passes out. So we know at least Maddox is still alive at the moment.
You have a change of pants.
And so, I love the costumes in the bar.
I've got some clear sequins pants you can have.
Yeah, did you... Oh, yeah, I will go into the next scene later after that. But we get back to the Las Sienna, not Sienna, Serena. And Seven of Nine is with Jean-Luc Picard on the holodeck of his
La Quinta.
Which I thought was interesting when he said that it wasn't his idea.
No, if you remember, the holo program did it. He's like, "I made this just for you," and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Okay, you know." But he likes
it. But I don't know. It wasn't, like, that conversation to me didn't come off as, like, a pushed on him kind of thing. It seemed to me like a joint effort.
It was, for sure.
So it was just odd to me.
But it's still, well, he's like, even 7-9 goes, and, so you're just, like, hanging out in this place, huh? It's like...
Oh, I like to step on my fake grapes.
So she asked for some bourbon, and she asked him why he's out in the sector. And Picard says basically gives her a quick rundown. He's looking for someone, and Seven said that she thinks it surprised it isn't some misguided diplomatic mission to save the galaxy. And Picard said, "Well, it might be some of that as well." We find out that Seven's been a Fenris Ranger, so obviously. She's sort of like an old law person back in the old West.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just helping people who needs justice. Obviously, Picard feels that's vigilantism, but she says there's no law out here. So there has to be something. So, and so
we got us cowboys and aliens here, guys.
Yeah. So she goes, we'll go. Because you can drop me off at Free Cloud. And she goes, "What are you doing out there anyways?" And she says, he says, "Someone needs my help and they might die. She might die if I don't help her." And Seven says, "Well, refill my glass." And basically,
tell me about it, Stud.
She wants more. So, back at the bridge, Raffi and Rios are talking about what's going on between Seven and Picard, and how they were both Borg at one point. So Rios is kind of like, "Wow, that's crazy that they would, you know, all that's going on." So,
and apparently Seven has quite a name for herself, because he knew of a pre-Borg Ranger.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, well, it's got to be unique, for sure.
She's the Galdra of Eyes.
to couch revise. And then from there, we see Dr. Angie Girardi is watching a Holo video of her and Maddox and how he made chocolate chip cookies instead of just replicating it. So we see there was like a love interest relationship at one point. So,
and this is part of, this is where I was like, okay, so maybe it really is her. So I don't know if I voiced this episode one or episode two. I can't remember which one it was. When, what was that Starfleet officers? Was it O? Is she the Tel Shiar?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So when she approached her, I was thinking that she replaced her. With another agent of under her thumb.
Oh, I see. Right.
And so I've always been looking for little things. And so that part, I was like, okay, well, she could still be somebody else, but it seems an awful lot like it's actually her.
Well, so, at the very end, we find out some of the things she says to Maddox just before, well, we'll get into it, but just before at the end, that there's, she knows more than she's letting on. So
she acts
very, you know, like sweet without, like, she doesn't know anything other than
secret,
you know, artificial
agent dork. Secret agent dork.
Yeah, but like for my like theory about her, what she says at the end doesn't confirm or deny anything that I'm trying to figure out if it's really her. Because it kind of sounds like it's really her, and she is now convinced that she did the right thing. Or, I mean, before, I was thinking, I think it's really her. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I was unsure up to this point.
Of course it's really her. The Romulans hate robots. They wouldn't replace her with a robot. Well, they hate robots.
I didn't say they would have replaced her with a robot. When we see the Commodore, she's talking to her, you know, subordinate, and then that becomes creepy brother's creepy sister, and she had a some kind of cloaking on her, so you thought she looked like a human, but she was really not. So that's why my brain went to, this could maybe be an imposter.
Yeah, I agree, but we're also, I think maybe Commodore O is putting the screws to her for some reason. We don't know why. And then, remember, she shows up just before the Tal Shiar attack Picard in his chateau.
That was super suspicious.
And you have to take me.
Yeah, you have to take me. So,
yeah.
I think, obviously, within an episode or so, we'll start figuring this all out pretty quickly. So, the ship gets in orbit at Free Cloud. And this is where a bunch of pop-ups ads come up.
Yeah.
Which was fun. It was a fun idea.
It was fun, and we learned a couple of things.
We
never got
rid of spam in 400 years.
I know.
What?
I know.
So Agnes, hers was a fighting robot, so I feel like that's some kind of thing that's deeply rooted in her that we're going to find out later.
She's also
conflict.
No, she's she's an underground boxer like Chakotay was.
Yeah,
she clearly has she clearly is connected to something, because all of the ads are targeted specifically to the people that they showed up in front of, and then we see Raffi's
except for Elnor.
Elnor didn't get one. I think he's just too pure of heart.
He's never used a computer before.
That's a good point, Holly, because they all kind of showed up, you know, like Raffi was like, hey, want to get high?
Mm-hmm.
So,
go get your search history.
Exactly.
Hers was about getting high. Rios was a repair shop. She was Agnes was a boxer. I can't remember what Picard's was.
It was like a hotel or something like that. It's like some fancy hotel.
You're an old man. You want to come to the casino and sleep and spend all your money that you don't have because you're in Starfleet.
So after when they get to the planet, they decide that they have to find Maddox, and Maddox is in this I don't want to say it's a chat room, but some kind of like weird setup for high rollers, people who are looking for like big corporations, criminal syndicates and stuff like that, that are, you know, it's like a message exchange board, I guess, and they're 4chan. Looking for
Space 4chan.
But they're looking for it on a deal for Mad-X for the Tal Shiar. So this is where Raffi comes up with the idea that they're going to make them into facers, and apparently they're, I guess that's short for interfacers, and they're going to dress up basically as pimps and players, and they're going to like try to broker a deal for Mad-X. But this time, instead of obviously try to broker a deal with Tal Shiar, they're going to offer something instead, and they're going to offer Seven of Nine because she has all the Borg implants, and obviously she's her parts, her Borg parts, are highly sought after.
Well, she's got the cortical node that they couldn't find in Ichep, because donated it to her in a Voyager episode, and so her cortical node will match Ichep's parts that they took if they want matching parts.
And obviously, Bajazel, is interested in this. So,
and she used to sleep with Seven, of course. So, you know,
yeah. Was that like a thing? Was that that's what kind of they were pushing it towards? And I was like, that's kind of weird because
I didn't gather that at all.
They were pushing it hard, Holly.
That was a
definitely said a lover they were in spat. A relationship, and I was like, "Well, are you talking business relationship or are you talking relationship?"
It was because a scissoring relationship.
They worked together.
That's what I thought, but it really seemed like she kept pushing this, like, Bajazel kept on pushing this, like, out of some, I don't know, she made it very uncomfortable.
I wasn't seeing that, and maybe if I watch it again, I'll look for that, but that doesn't.
I could be wrong. I mean, obviously.
It was definitely being pushing an intimate relationship between the two.
I don't know.
Can't people be close without it being a sexual thing?
No.
This is why I don't have friends. Okay, thanks.
This is why I don't have friends. No, but I normally don't look at it this way Dave looks at it, but it did seem like they're kind of like making that ambiguous.
I don't know.
Ambiguous.
Lots of people think that there's something going on between them. It's not just me. It seems very blatant. And, you know, the Borg, when they assimilate you, they said, you will come to service us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you think? And she was part of the Borg Queen's Unimatrix 01. So they were the closest ones to the Borg Queen. And we saw in First Contact the Borg Queen was interested in pleasure because she was blowing on Data's skin. Therefore, Seven of Nine is versed in doing that.
Okay, Dave. All right, you're just reading up a bunch of like, yeah. Come on, you've read up too much on this. All right.
No, I just know Star Trek.
Okay, Dave. All
right. And the Borg.
We're moving ahead. All right, so they give Rios the whole like player pimp look. He's got the big hat.
You need a feather in your hat.
Stick a feather in his hat and call it macaroni. I mean, sorry, call it facer.
And so he get all these credentials, and they even gave him Raffi gives him some like vitamin supplements in case runs into them these reptilian creatures that they can smell. Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that they can smell if you're lying. They can smell what you ate and who you slept with. So that's how bad their smelling is.
And she says Raffi's home cooking, and I was like, okay, that's another like drug reference. Meth-ing? Another red flag coming from Raffi.
Raffi's cooking up meth in the desert. She's like Breaking Bad.
Exactly.
Meth and benzos.
Yeah. Oh my God. Meth is still a thing in the 24th century. Yes.
Well, so are pop-up ads.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me, tell you the truth. And then obviously Picard has got some, like, I don't know what you even call it. He's got a
black pirate.
Yeah, he's like, he's all in black leather.
He's with an ice scar. Pirate.
And he's got the eye patch on. Elnor looks basically like Elnor, just in regular clothes. So
something really fun happened right here. And I didn't notice it the first time I watched the episode, but I noticed it the second time.
What's that?
So, I mean, Elnor, he comes from a culture where they are extremely candid, right?
Sure.
And so they're all dressing up, and he doesn't understand. They're all dressing up, and they're taking on these personas, and they're lying, and he doesn't follow. And then he finally gets it right after Seven answers the question as to why she's going down to the planet. And the second time I saw it, I went, oh, he knew she was lying.
Oh, maybe.
Because that's when he goes, oh, I understand. We're all pretending to be something we're not. And I was like, huh, he knew. He knew she was lying.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't put that together either, but yeah, right after was going on that whole thing with Raffi saying, yeah, I have to, do my job as a ranger kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they're all going to go down. So they beam down to this, or actually first, Rios beams down and meets up with this, reptilian, creature.
I wrote it down. It's a Beta Inari.
Beta Inari. Okay.
Yeah.
And,
and I have a question about him.
What about it?
When he's talking to, Riso or whatever his name is.
Rios.
Mm-hmm. Does he say Quark? Does he say
something about Quark? Yes, he says Quark.
Yeah.
He says that Rios helped Quark with some mission, and in the background there was a Quark's bar sign. This is both the best and worst thing that happened in the episode. Quark name drop, and then the worst thing is they didn't show Quark. Bastards.
Well, they couldn't show him if it was a lie.
It wasn't.
Because then they could have asked Quark.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was a lie. I wouldn't be surprised
Raffi
if Rios
said
helped him.
She fabricated some stuff.
Yeah.
No, apparently there's something that did happen with Quark in the Fringinar. The Breen. So there must have been something true that... Because Rios,
he's a space pirate. Ice pirate.
Not a space pirate, but he's definitely...
He's known, he's been around.
Yeah, he's been around. Well, he's part of the space guild.
He's separate from Starfleet, so if he's doing stuff for Quark, he's essentially a space pirate, since Quark does shady stuff. I want a Quark show now.
He's Han Solo. He does a little smuggling, he does, among other things, you know, so...
He'll ferry people to Alderaan when it's blown up, just like Han Solo, if they pay the right money. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, but yeah, he's a jack of all trades. But
don't worry, the planet's down there. Just beam you down. I don't know. I don't see it in orbit. It's just the sun's down. Don't worry.
give me a Rios and Quark show, because Rios is my favorite character on Picard, and I love Quark. So let's get them together.
There you go. It's a fun thing. So he brings up there's an altercation between Rios and this Beta. What were they called?
Beta Inari.
Beta Inari's. Where he says, "I'd like to give you a counter proposal other than something for the Tal Shiar," and he pulls out his weapon on him. And says, "I don't like surprises. What is it?" And he was like, "Okay, how about I give you a Borg with lots of parts?" And shows him a scan of 7 of 9. And he's like, "That's a lot of parts. That might be good." And he says, "Well, you know, let's arrange a meeting." And so he says, "Okay." So they set up the meeting with Picard and Elnor and Seven with what's her name? Bejazzle.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've interrupted you a lot. Mm-hmm. Prior to this, the doctor, Agnes, was left behind. And...
beam him up.
Yeah, and I feel... What was it that she said? She was, like, freaking out, and the EMH shows up, and he's like, "What is your medical emergency?" And I just feel like it's important to mention, because it's going to come back around.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this, too, the second time. I was like, you know, that wouldn't be a terrible thing to have if you're having, like an
anxiety attack. Yeah.
Or going through, like, depression or something like that, and he shows up. You know?
That
would be great.
He's a very ineffective hologram. He should only be able to be force closed by Rios.
Right? I agree with that statement. But I have issues with him being able to be closed off anyway. But The first time I watched it, I actually thought that she was just, like, having anxiety about getting them back onto the ship. And then the second time I watched it,
you realize it's something else.
Yeah. She was having anxiety about something else.
Yes. Yeah. Irritable bowel syndrome.
Of course. That's it. Yep.
She had to go to the bathroom bad. Okay. So, yeah. So they make the meeting, and this is where they all get together, and Picard shows off 709 to Bezazzle. And we find out that they know each other. And all of a sudden, things go south really quickly because 709 just grabs Bezazzle, right, you know, like, and because she's stronger than most creatures, she can basically just snap her neck in a second.
Creature.
So. Well, I just meant like most.
Yeah, no, I get sweaty.
She has Borg implants that help with the neck snapping.
I was going to mention that earlier. Why didn't, like, don't the Borg technology, doesn't it repair itself?
It's supposed to. I don't know
but how. Like, why did he what's his name, Ichab?
I'm assuming they did more to him.
I think the Borg can repair themselves when they're assimilated, when they still have all their nanoprobes, and their Borg parts replicate nanoprobes that keep them Borgified. But when they become un-Borg, I don't think the nanoprobes work as efficiently or at all. I think they just rely on whatever implants that are integrated into their body at that point. With Seven, many of hers were rejected, and they removed as many as they could without limiting her function as a living being. But I think it's the nanites that make you Borg and also keep repairing you. And when you're no longer Borg, I don't think the nanites are as active or active at all.
They have a party then. It's their day off.
He's dead! Yay!
All right. Let's have drinks. Yeah, so this is when we find out that they know each other as a past, and she, 709, wants to take out revenge against
Bezazzle.
Bezazzle, thank you, for what she did to Ichab.
And it turns out Bezazzle was like a ranger. She was like a ranger that was... Who was she working for? Was she just working for herself?
Was she
working for the Tel Shiar?
So the Rangers aren't technically through the Federation. There must be a just purely for that system or something, the Fenris or whatever you want to call them. So they're not.
The Rangers operate primarily from what they said in the what used to be Romulan neutral zone.
Right, but they need funding, so. They need to get people to fund them to do certain things. So they don't have any funding. So that's what they need. And so I assume that she was helping funding and part of them somehow, but it was very unclear.
It's possible. Yeah.
How does money work in the future when there's not supposed to be money?
There is money. It's just not paper money. It's you know, credits. I don't know. Whatever.
Bitcoin,
there you go.
But Picard and Kirk both said there was no money.
But that's the thing, is when you're in the Federation, you don't have to. If you're a citizen of the Federation, you have basic needs taken care of. And it seems to me that, this is my understanding of the money issue with the Federation, is if you become a Federation, if you're a Federation member, basic needs are taken care of. You can do more if you want, and if you join Starfleet or join some things, you'll basically get more credits for being more successful or helping society more. So you enrich yourself and your society and culture around you, the better you'll do. So it's just not money, it's just different.
In Federation, it's prestige. But I mean, I know people in Deep Space Nine, they must have gotten some kind of like allowance or something. So
you get a stipend. Yeah, you get a stipend of some sorts, and it must be, useful when you're off a Federation world, and you have to, you know, spend on things.
There's got to be some sort of compensation so that they can operate off-world.
In a post-scarcity world, too, that's what you have to understand, too, because, with replicators, you know, not that they work for free, but you can basically replicate most of anything within reason. So
not delicious chocolate chip cookies.
Apparently not well, at least.
They taste like poop.
It's like someone took a shit out of my cookie.
It's like someone had irritable bowel syndrome and put it in an oven.
Eggy!
Because you're going to have to call this episode the Planet of Poop or something. I think we've talked about poop quite a bit.
Quite a lot of poop.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
So where did we leave off? Choking. The history of...
The Jaisal.
So Picard kind of talks Seven down a little bit because she's ready just to snap her neck. And they end up all beaming up to the ship. And they're kind of like, Picard's sort of just like, okay, let's get out of here because we got Maddox. But this is where Seven's like, I'm got a ship down there for me. You can just beam me back down. And he says, but I'm taking two phaser rifles with me, too.
A vigilante might need these.
And he gives her her calling card, so as he can call it.
Yeah, so hopefully she'll come back. He'll like, I'll have to call 709's phone number.
He's totally going to call her back. So her reason for being a ranger is to help those who are essentially unhelpable. And then Picard comes back around and tells her exactly what that is for Soji, like, I'm the only one that's going to help this girl.
Yeah, he's doing.
And so she's
Picard's a vigilante right now. That's really what it is. He's just isn't being as badass as 709.
Right.
Then we do a little our side story here with Raffi. Raffi says goodbye to Picard and beams down to this medical area for babies and
for Romulan preemies
and
to prenatal health clinic.
Yeah, which is, I guess, a planet like that even needs that, right?
Oh, all the prostitutes are getting knocked up every now and then, right?
They probably don't get knocked up. There's probably something that stops that.
Freeze my baby for later.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I need to withdraw child support. I can, I can.
Child support!
I can extort this guy 10 years later. He won't even know it.
That's a really clever idea, actually.
You're welcome, people. You can start Ben for your child support.
That's a Star Trek episode ready to be written.
By freezing your babies.
Yeah, you're going to have people like... I don't even want to even say it. Never mind.
This will be an episode of the Quark show that takes place in Free Cloud. It'll have to be.
Quark can be Jerry Springer. And then...
You are not the father. Father.
Quark so could be Jerry Springer.
So, Raffi sees her son Gabriel there. So Gabriel's down there with her. We don't see her yet, but with his wife, and they're going to have a daughter.
He passes her a blunt just to test her to make sure if she's still wants to be high or not.
Well, that's what we find out. We find out, first of all, she's obviously estranged to her son Gabriel. Doesn't even want her to touch him when she reaches out to touch his leg. She's like, nope, he ain't touching me. He said, do you know how terrible it was to be your son and all the stuff that you put me and Dad through? And basically that ever since everything went down with her and Picard, whatever went down, she really like went down some deep rabbit holes about like, the conspiracy about the Synth attack on Mars.
Follow the white rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she definitely looked deep into this. And then, she obviously has some kind of substance abuse problems and she tells her son Gabriel that I've kicked it. I've been clean for years. I'm doing much better. And, he just isn't buying it. And apparently she's burned that bridge enough times that he doesn't even want to try with
damn her. Cigarette butts I didn't put out.
Put your hand out. So and then
her boots and your motorcycle.
So yes, yeah, so she his wife comes out. It's a Romulan woman, and she's very pregnant, and they basically say hello to each other, but Gabriel's like, well, she's just passing by. She's not going to be here for long, so say goodbye. Say hello, say goodbye, kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. And that's it. And Raffi's heartbroken at the end of it, so maybe she thought they'd have some kind of connection, but obviously that's gone.
She's with John Travolta, locked herself in the closet.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. But she... It's kind of sad, but also you're like, she might have been, you know, pretty fucked up for quite a while, so.
Yeah. Well, she probably went into this tailspin of a conspiracy, and no one would listen to her, so she turned to drugs, and then, poof.
Yeah, who knows? We just don't know.
Now they'll really believe me with all the drugs in my system. It has to be true now.
They all go back to the ship, obviously, and we find out Maddox is pretty well beaten up by Bajazel, and so he's a fetch. Bajesus, and 7 of 9 beams down and basically just kills her two. You know, whatever you want to call her, hench women. And she blows away Bajazel. That's the end of her. So.
Like a tain of wind.
And then she starts shooting her way out of the Vara Free Cloud. So, you know, pretty cool. And back on the ship, they're getting out of there. And obviously, this is where they talk a little bit about to Bruce Maddox. Picard and Bruce talk a little bit, and he gets some information and finds out that Daja's sister Soji is on the artifact, the reclaimed Borg cube. So, and that's where they're heading off. And Rio says it's going to double his price, but Picard's like, okay, whatever.
So. I'll throw some wine at you.
And just when they're taking off, obviously, we have Maddox is in there with Dr. Darby, Angie's. What is it? No, what are they calling her?
I think Aggie. It's Aggie. He calls her Aggie. Anal-Gesic
cream?
Yeah, and she kills him because of what he did, and he said, you don't know what she said. She says, I have to atone for what she's done.
He says that she was essential in his work, and she says, one more thing I have to atone for, and then she kills him, and he doesn't understand why. And she's like,
and she says,
you don't know what I know. I wish I didn't know what I know.
Couldn't you tell him? Like, you know, maybe he could help you destroy the technology.
That's my thing.
If it's that bad, I don't know.
I have an issue with that part. So,
also, well, emergency medical hologram shouldn't turn off when someone's dying.
Exactly.
And he kept asking, "What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem?" It's like, handle the patient. Kick her out of the room.
Yeah.
Well, no, but he did. He goes, "What's the your state of your psychological emergency?" He said it again. But no, then he says, what's your medical emergency? Because then he realizes what's happened with Maddox. And that's when she shut him down. So, because he was like,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
he should have gone to Rios. I don't know why. And
a guest on the ship shouldn't be able to shut it down.
I would say.
Especially during a clear medical emergency.
She's a doctor, so maybe like respect her.
She's a cyberneticist. She doesn't know how lungs and shit work.
I was thinking the same thing when Picard left her alone with him.
Well, anywho, he's dead. He died.
He's dead.
That's what's so frustrating about this episode. We finally start to get some answers, and they pull it out from under us. I mean, although they kind of did like foreshadow it a lot with her being so shady, but I was just like, come on, give me some more Maddox. We've spent 5 episodes getting to Maddox, and he's on screen for 5 minutes.
Right. And, like, I just have issue with the fact that, like, she loved him, and if somebody came to me and told me Michael was part of something that was going to destroy the world, and I finally found him, I would talk to him. rather than kill
what
him.
If he are, but what if he already built the thing to destroy the world?
then it's too fucking late anyway. Why am I going to kill him? It's just ridiculous. I thought it was stupid that they show us that she's in love with him, and then that she doesn't even give him the chance to talk to her about anything.
To join the revolution against what? I don't know. It's so vague.
Well, it made me think that maybe she resents his project because he left her to go off to complete his work because he couldn't do it where he was. So obviously, this was more than just that. I think she was pissed off that he left her.
I think Tal Shiar and Federation, something happened that they have some information that we don't know yet about the synths and with androids.
Now, I think they just lied to her to convince her.
They
to
could
kill him.
Be, but we just don't know. We just don't know what information they have. There's more information that's being withheld.
I don't think they lied to her, although the Maddox did say lies than lies. Maybe Maddox knows, and maybe that's why she killed him, because he already knows. But I don't know. She specifically said, "I wish I didn't know this.
I wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't know this. I wish they didn't show him, they didn't show what they've shown her," or something to that nature.
Cause
seen what they've shown her.
Because they say their secret's so great it's going to break your brain. And I'm like, I really hope it's really good. I hope it's not dumb like robots are evil. I'm like, okay.
Robots are evil.
People good, robot bad.
Yeah.
Who knows? I hope it's slightly more nuanced than that.
Dave, that's the end of the show. Why don't you go first this time and tell us what you think about this episode, all the good and the bad.
Mentioning Quark good, not showing Quark bad. this episode, it was pretty good. It moved along pretty good. I didn't feel like I was bored. And also, the second best thing they did was they didn't cut away to the Borg cube. Thank God. I liked that this was a more straightforward story and they didn't jump around nearly as much. Maybe the stuff for the Raffi's kid will end up coming back for some importance. I don't know. It sort of seemed like a waste of time in this episode.
Yeah, you had to know. I had to know what was going on with Raffi, and that was enough to fill in the blanks for me.
I think that it was just a little side story to get her onto the ship because she wouldn't have gone otherwise.
She's not that interesting to me to begin with. So to make her have another reason to go on the ship, she should have just been on the ship anyway. I mean, she wouldn't because of the script dialogue. Because she said she had other things she wanted to do, but the other thing, if she didn't say she wanted,
well, that fell through.
No, she hated Picard. She wouldn't have gone on the trip if she hadn't have found that what's-his-name was on Free Cloud because she knew where her son was and she wanted to hitch a ride. So if those paths hadn't crossed, she would not have gone.
Well, I think,
and then she wouldn't be a part of the crew.
I think the only reason she's a part of the crew is because her son's wife is Romulan. But the thing is, if she was written differently and not so jaded or whatever, she could have just got along anyway. They just made her contrarian. They wrote her to be contrarian, to waste time in the first club episodes to have this scene so she'll go on the ship.
I think we're setting up a story. I mean, obviously, Picard is dealing with problems of his past, and this is one of not that you could blame Raffi's problem completely on Picard, but she felt that here was maybe a mentor, somebody that she looked up to at one point, and then he just kind of like left her, you know, and she was passionate about helping the Romulan people, and with the Mars attack with the synths, she started looking into that, and she got, you know, lost into, like you said, that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll pay off with something later. It just seemed out of place and weird that they had the scene with her kid. It was just weird and off-putting. Probably the most off-putting thing for me in this episode, but I don't know. It was fun. Like, the disguises was fun. Like, I was scared the pimp outfit was going to be really, really dumb, but I really liked Rios playing that part. It was a lot of fun. Seeing him do that and the smelly alien lizard guy was interesting. And I was glad to see Maddox. Maddox, it was great to see him. You know, we've got the location of Soji, although, like I said a couple episodes ago, they found B4's positronic brain from Earth all the way over in the Romulan neutral zone where they
were. Yeah, but they knew what they were looking for. We don't. This is totally a different thing. It's a. Well, it's based off positronic, but it's also made off flesh and blood too. So we don't know what's going on with that.
I guess, but I mean, a positronic signature still would be pretty unique, even if it's like a modified one. I don't know. It just was strange that they just randomly got a positronic signature, and seems like it's pretty rare, especially if they deactivated all the other sense. It seems like it'd be very easy to find them. But yeah, it was, I mean, like I said, it was a good episode. Plot's moving forward. We didn't cut away to have the Narek and his sister recite the same lines at each other again, which was fantastic. Yeah, it looks like the plot lines will finally converge next week, so I'm really excited for next week's episode. That should be, I mean, I guess the episodes will hopefully just get better and better since they're done setting everything up, hopefully. How about you, Aaron?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching everything. I didn't have a problem with the Rafi side story. I thought it was filled in, like I said, the blanks that I wanted to know. I guess I always wonder, like, where are these planets like Free Clouds like sitting? Like, what part of the Star Trek universe? Because it must be like far off the outskirts of the Federation, or because you know it's
low security, what did they say when they get there? Like,
it's the Wild West kind of thing. It's
pretty
it's
much.
Like, I mean, presumably it's in the Romulan neutral zone where all the other crap is. Like, apparently the ex-Romulan neutral zone is a very big patch of space.
It is a big, yeah, it is. Yeah,
well,
it
and is and sure. The old Romulan neutral zone is probably also a lot of Romulan territory that just isn't inhabited by Romulans anymore since they got scattered. I don't know why they lost their world since those are the ones they should have relocated to.
Right.
I mean, this is presumably. I don't know. They didn't really specify. We don't know where these new planets are. Larry Nemechek will have to get us a new updated map of Star Trek world.
Right, exactly.
Come on, Larry. We love you.
The funny thing is, I was thinking about when you first get to the Free Cloud and the bar there, they have the dwarf lady playing the piano.
I loved that piano.
I know, it was a cool piano. Was thinking of...
Was she Max Rebo?
No, I was thinking about the character in Unification 2, where Riker goes into the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the woman. That lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to sing, Worf wants her to sing Klingon opera.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, is that the same idea of person? And it's like, no. And I couldn't remember. I had to look her up, and it's like, oh, she's like, got that weird horn nose and stuff like that. So, and it's got four hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, so guess it wasn't there. Would have been cool if it was her.
That would have been a nice little callback.
Callback, yeah. I liked everything. I thought it was pretty fun. I am kind of frustrated that Dr. Girardi killed Maddox, but I was like, oh, that's par for the course. They're
I mean, it's definitely par for the course, but it's still extremely frustrating. We've spent so much time looking for him, and we barely got to meet him and know him and know what's going on. Like, we just get the smallest, vaguest tidbits.
I agree. I mean, and his whole lab was completely disintegrated, so he can't even go to his lab now, so he can't even go through his old file and like, see what he has.
It makes it sound like there isn't, I mean, there isn't more if he just had a lab and they destroyed everything. Like, I don't know, it just, like, none of my theories are panning out. Like, so it's still a mystery, like, what happened on Mars. It doesn't seem like Maddox was involved in it. Or maybe he was. Maybe Maddox will be in a bunch of flashbacks, because the show does a flashback every single episode. So maybe.
Yeah. What happened in those 14 years? Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it was a great episode. I'm excited to see what happens next. Kind of be kind of weird how they're going to sneak onto the old Borg cube, the artifact. So, I don't know. Holly, what about you?
I've got a couple of things. I too liked the little side story for Rafi, but I think that's just because when you meet her, you don't know anything about her.
She's bitter and angry.
And bitter.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was a good way, and it didn't take up much time, that they just kind of explained at least how much she really lost when Picard resigned. Mm. She lost a lot. And Yeah, I'm not saying it's Picard's fault, but it kicked off her issues. And I think it was a short, concise little explanation for us as to why she was so pissed off and a little bit more about who she is as a person. So I liked that. A really stupid thing I loved about the episode was when they're planning, well, they're not really even planning yet. They're talking about getting to Free Cloud and they start talking about Bejazel. Picard's the way he's just standing there with his hands in his pockets. And I just absolutely loved it. I don't know. He was just like so relaxed. He had his sleeves pushed up and his arms in his pockets. And
it's funny because I think Patrick Stewart or somebody, some of the cast have talked about, especially the Next Gen, how they had no pockets, so they could never put their hands like in there, like, you know, they couldn't be casual. They're always standing up because there's no pockets to put their hands into.
Mm. Maybe it was purposeful then. Maybe he was just like, you know what? It's time. I need to put my hands in my pockets. But I loved it. I still had a question because I don't think you guys can answer it. But when Seven goes back down to Free Cloud, and she kills the two girls,
right?
Like all the employees in the bar are magically beamed out.
And come on, those
fuck beams them out.
They probably have their own contingencies of like what happens if shit goes down.
Hey,
yeah, maybe.
Like the piano playing lady.
Hey,
she was like, this has happened before. So
Quark doesn't want to have to rehire people. He's really bad at human resources because most of them leave for sexual harassment before they even hire. Before you can even hire them.
True.
I mean, he doesn't want to lose them. I'm sure Quark emergency transported them out or has some kind of like recall system on them.
If I was in a place like that, and I knew that stuff probably happened, like, I don't know, every couple like months, I would have
your own personal security.
I would have some way to beam me out right away, just a panic button to beam me someplace safe.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's what I thought immediately. Mm-hmm. I noticed some people were running, and some people beamed out immediately.
Yeah, that's true. And then the only other thing is I find that it's odd that the Tal Shiar vaporized Maddox's lab, but they're also pressing Soji to tell them where the rest of her kind are.
Where the rest of your sisters.
Yeah, it's weird that they went and they just blew up the lab. They didn't try to infiltrate it as scientists or anything like that. They just kind of like incinerated it. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to figure out, like, you should ask questions first, maybe?
Maybe it was Narek's sister, the kooky one.
The creep?
Yeah, the creepy one.
Zuzette.
So that's a good point. But There's something more at play. There's more than we know. There's more than we've been led to know. So was the Zadvash and Tal Shiar and whatever involvement the Federation or Starfleet is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something else going on that we're not fully aware of.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's got to be Zadvash inside the Federation for at least 16 years that they haven't been in there for forever. I was having a discussion with Guy Davis earlier today, and he brought up conspiracy. And I'm like, hey, if it's conspiracy, aliens, bug things, and the Tal Shiar and Zadvash, that could be interesting. Because I was so sad they never brought back the conspiracy storyline.
I know. Those are great, those little parasites.
Yeah, because if they're back and that's why everything's gone to shit, I would buy that way easier than they just started doing it on their own. But I want those little aliens back.
No, I think they're great. Yeah, they're awesome.
There's definitely going to be some stuff going on with the Zadvash and the Federation going back at least 16 years, if not way, way longer. Who knows? Maybe the Zadvash founded the Federation. Maybe they'll do that. I don't know. Archer was Zadvash. T'Pol was Zadvash all along.
Who knows? I'm just waiting for Rafi to do the whole Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme where she's got like all the papers and all the lines connecting, where he's like trying to explain what happened with the Synth Mars attack and how it's Tal Shiar, you know. So
if she does that, then I'll start liking Raffi more. That'll be fun.
Oh my God. I want to laugh so hard. She's smoking cigarettes and she's all like, you know, strung out.
She's going to be there
trying to explain
ace.
Where the
she's
going to
be. She's going to have so much information for Picard once, you know, she opens up. She's going to have all the information that he needs, and it's going to piece together.
Mm-hmm.
But did you guys see the trailer for next week?
Yes.
Did you see Picard or?
Oh yeah. It looks like he has a flashback to being Locutus again.
Is it a flashback? Cause it kind of looked like a flashback, but
maybe it's a flashback what was happened to him, but maybe it's also he got into the wrong section of the Borg cube.
That's what I was gonna say, because you can't go into the certain zones, and they're gonna infiltrate the ship. And there's a lot about humanity in this episode.
God, if he goes full Locutus for the last five episodes, that'd be kind of fun.
That's the end of that.
The ship reactivates. Season 2 will be called Star Trek Locutus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wouldn't mind that. And that's one of the things I speculated on. Watch Picard turns back into a Borg so he can be mentally scarred even more than he already has been.
Maybe. I mean, you know how I feel about the show opener. I just love it.
And if she's and if Soji's the new Borg queen, and it'll go into my gold digger thing I was talking about too early on, because you know the Borg queen and Locutus are supposed to be a pair, right?
Why would she be the Borg queen?
Because they're saying she's the destroyer of worlds. It can't be as simple as that. She's just a machine. Like, I think they use Borg technology. I hope they use Borg. I mean, I don't know. It's got to be more complex than that. She's just an android.
Maybe.
I mean, they're on the Borg cube, and there's Hugh, and there's 7 of 9.
She was sent there to find the answers as to the cover up.
But yes, there's all this prophecy that she's like the destroyer, so she's probably going to get assimilated and then become this destroyer thing, and like she's going to reinvigorate the Borg and claim Locutus, and like together they should rule the galaxy as Sugar Daddy and Sugar
Girl. I mean, technically, Mars was destroyed to stop her ever coming into existence. So she would be, I mean, you could call her and her sister or her sisters destroyers, because, I mean, if you look at it technically, they are the reason why the, not Tal Shiar, but the Dickwads decided to. The Jad Vash, you know.
Or what if when those, Mars. Maybe when Daj and Soji went online or were first created, maybe it affected the other synths somehow?
No, they've only been active for 3 years. The other synths went rogue 15 years ago, 16 years ago? Yes, we do.
Yeah. But we don't know that when exactly he started working on them.
I guess.
I think the Jad Vash became experts at the thing that they hated so that they could get rid of it all.
Well, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess we're going to have to find out. There's a lot to still figure out. There's still something that Dr. Girardi knows that we haven't found out. Well, that
she
there's
knows
connection.
The full Jad Vash secret, which hopefully is more than just androids are bad.
Android bad,
which is what... The
I think she knows a lie. I don't think she knows a truth. I think she knows a lie.
I don't know. I mean, the Romulans.
Or it could just be. It could be a certain aspect of something that happened or might happen, and who knows?
It's all very vague, and I hope they get into the specifics soon. Give us some hint on what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anything else we want to bring up?
Stardust City Rag. Step in the right direction. Good job, Picard. We're halfway through.
Sad. We're halfway through.
I know. It's so weird.
And no news on when Discovery Season 3 is going to start. Just soon. Trademark TM.
Soon.
Oh, we didn't speak about this in the news, though, but they had that, put that banner up where, like, they're holding the flag. It looks like Les Miserables in space.
Did we make a joke about that last episode?
No, we didn't say that last episode.
I think I saw it on a Facebook post.
I posted it in the group because I...
No, you... But was it with Jeff Heller that we were talking about Les Miserables for some reason? I swear someone made a joke about that.
No, must have been before I got on the phone then, because I don't remember that.
I think we were talking about it, but it wasn't in relation to Discovery, I don't think.
I can't remember. I swear we made that joke.
I don't know. But the banners didn't come out till after we recorded.
I know, but it's like, did we call that before it even happened? I don't know.
Listeners, did you hear us say anything about Les Mis in the last episode? It might have been
our last couple episodes. It might have been
before we recorded, though.
We were talking about Picard. Yeah, I can't remember. It's
just a mess, a jumble of words that we've said over the last 6 years. Who knows?
I can't keep up anymore.
So many words.
So. Yeah, onward, obviously, to the next episode in The Impossible Box, which we saw some pretty cool that box with the figurine inside of it. So that looked pretty neat. So
I guess it's
it's going to be a puzzle.
I guess it's an improbable box and not an impossible box.
Well, funny. Well, spoiler, we know she gets into it.
Well, it's in the preview.
Like, there's like a floor pattern and something that Maddox says is that... she's not going to be activated until her mom AI feels that she's in danger.
All right, and then it did show up at one point.
Yeah.
So she's on a ship full of Romulans.
Well, I mean, mom showing up isn't like super odd. The first time I watched this, actually, I thought that, but then the second time I was like, okay, mom's going to activate her. She's not going to just pop up when she's activated. She's probably still asleep and is not activated, even though mom has been around. I guess because we had only seen mom popped up for Daj after she was activated, I guess that maybe put me on that thought process. But yeah, I think that what's his name? Boyfriend over there is gonna just put her in danger so that she's activated.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying not to activate her, but maybe something else is happening. So it looks great, and I can't wait to see what happens. Like you said, we're halfway through, and I do think some of the stuff could have been boiled down to maybe a 3 episodes to get us as far as we are. Maybe not this episode, but we could have gotten 3 episodes to boil down. We'd have maybe next year.
Yeah, honestly, they could have done these 5 episodes and, like, I even think with the start of City Rag, they could have, like, condensed all of the 4 before it and this one down to, like, 3 tops. Like, because they just drag their feet a lot and they repeat a lot of information a lot in the first couple episodes.
Especially, maybe look back at that information. Maybe it's all really important, and it's stuff that you probably don't think is important, and it's going to come out to be like big ol' hints.
I mean, maybe
big ol' hints.
We'll have to find out. But a lot of my theories are falling through. I was really hoping Maddox was going to be more Puppet Master and like more of a bad guy this season. And then you discover
he likes to bake cookies.
And then
can't eat anybody who makes cookies.
Man, the dark side has cookies. Damn it. Mm.
You there though?
So what the meme says? And memes are truth, right?
Yeah.
So let's hold our rest of our thoughts and conjecture till next episode. We'll find out more, and we'll put more clues together, obviously, by that point.
Yes. Now, Aaron, when are we going to talk Countdown Issue 3? Because I haven't read it yet, and I'm going to read it right before we decide we're going to talk about it.
Oh.
We'll
have to see if it fits in for what we got to talk about here. But yeah, that we should definitely talk about that. I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely worth, because we got to tie up that.
Yeah.
But
Maybe you could do a mini episode and just release it in the middle of the week.
Yeah, we could do that too.
The schedule, but, since I haven't read any of them.
It was an episode too. Okay. Well, cool. We'll talk about that. We'll figure that out.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our thoughts about this episode. We had a lot of fun talking about it. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. You can find us also on Facebook. Go to our Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/ Synthaholics, and join us there. There's lots of talk going on with this Picard series. You can also email us if you like at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And if this is a show you feel like you'd like to support, you can visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics. You can throw us money that way. And as always, I always say, great way to support the show, it's free for you, free for us, is that you can share the show with your friends on social media or just by word of mouth. Wonderful. And
well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Aaron and Holly. It's been fun. I mean, Picard's it's really starting to ramp up. I'm excited where it's going to be going.
Yeah, and just because people are critical doesn't mean they always hate everything.
Yes, we are critical, and as soon as we love an episode, we will say it. I mean, because we've done that with Discovery. Like, well, we like said they did great. I mean, they've done great sometimes. It's been a really slow burn. Like, I haven't loved any of the episodes, but they're getting better, and I'm excited to see where the mysteries are going to unfold.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. We did it. Stardust Rags.
Stardust City Rags.
Stardust City Rags.
Welcome down to the Stardust City, where the girls are small and the dudes wear feathers.
Take
me home. Was that a fling?
Holly, you should totally watch Lock and Key.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a little dark in the beginning. Not like dark. It's just
I like dark.
Yeah, but it's like it's a little bit sad in the beginning, but then it like picks right up. I don't know. Didn't
they cut out all the Cthulhu references?
They took out the Lovecraft side of things, and
it's the best part of it.
There's still stuff that they did change things from the comic because I don't know. It makes sense the stuff they changed just for a series like that. So
I just want more Lovecraft in movies and TVs. That would be fun.
I don't understand why they don't have Lovecraft come out like their own. Whoever owns the rights is really fucking squandering their.
There's a cute little animated, thing for Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
There are two or three films.
Lovecraft is supposed to be cute. It's supposed to be scary and make you go crazy.
Yeah, but it's for kids that like creepy things.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of like that. It's like, because if you read the original Lock and Key, it's not like over the top gory, but there's some bad stuff that happened in it. And it's like, ugh, you know, you don't want to give it to your kids kind of thing. But this is like on the range of like Stranger Things. So if your kids can handle Stranger Things, it can handle this.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not bad or anything. It's just, there's some violence and there's some swearing, but nothing terrible in it, the whole thing. So I enjoyed it. When I was sick, I watched the whole series, so I was like, "Oh, this is pretty good." So,
no eyeballs getting ripped out.
No eyeballs going out. No, nothing like that. I mean, I forgot
to mention this on the episode, but the actor they got to play Icheb looks more like the actor they got to play older Icheb in the episode where Naomi and Icheb grew up to be old people on the middle aged people on the Enterprise. I mean, on the Voyager.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that episode?
I sort of do. It's been a while.
He looks way closer to that actor than young Icheb.
That's
which
funny.
Maybe is why they chose him. Also, maybe they just wanted to pay a guy to be on the screen for 5 seconds and die instead of I don't know. The original actor probably wouldn't want to come back just to die.
Well, and also he I think that that guy too, he's a most of these guys work for CBS All Access or their studios. They're actors, so they must have like they must have
Actors Guild like, things.
Well, contracts with them, so yeah, like he, you know, the ETEP guy was in that NCIS Los Angeles, and what else he was in? Like one episode. But he actually hasn't been in a lot, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care that they recast him. It doesn't matter. Bruce Maddox, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know that the original guy that played Bruce Maddox was that good an actor. Or that practiced, and this guy had to do that awful death scene, and it was, I mean, he did it really convincingly. I mean, like,
right.
I just don't know if the other guy might have had the chops, because, like you said, he hasn't been in anything, so he's not practicing his art. Or if he even cares about it anymore. I mean, I saw an interview with Jonathan Franks say he was, like, so nervous about coming back to play Riker, because he hadn't acted in 10 years. He's been doing more directing, and Marina Sirtis and Patrick Stewart both have been acting all, and you know, the whole time, and he's been directing, so he's like, yeah. I don't know if I want to, you know, be on screen, but he's
he's like
whoever says it's like riding a bike is they gotta shut their damn mouth or something. He said something like that in the interview, right? Like, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I also finished watching The Witcher.
Was it good?
I don't know. There's parts of it that's really good.
From what I've read, it's based upon...
There's a book series, and then there's a video game or something like that.
Yeah, there is a book series, but from what I understand, it's not even based on the game or the books. It's based on a collection of short stories written by the same author as the books.
Okay.
That I guess are like prequels to the books, so theoretically season two will get into the books, because the games take place after the books, if I remember correctly.
So, like, you know, first of all, like, Henry Cavill, I mean, there's no getting around. The guy is, like, the prime specimen for, you know, the male physique. I mean, the guy is, the man is perfect. I mean, there's no getting around it. And I understand, like why they cast him. I find it strange that a guy that big would be in this production. It's not terrible, but it's not great.
The reason he's in it is because he's a video game nerd. He loves The Witcher. Like he's big into it.
Well, I can tell. So, but then there's like all these other side stories, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about them. Show me The Witcher. I don't give a fuck about them. Show me The Witcher. You know, and these side stories go on forever, and they jump around, and sometimes it's hard to know because they don't tell you. You know, this is 10 years before, and you just have to surmise this is from before. You know, it's really difficult at some points, you know, and I'm not like, you know, I'm a Twin Peaks fan. I know that when weird shit happens, like, okay, just go with it. But
I heard it jumps around like a span of like 200 years.
And they give you
no indication.
They definitely do change some weird thing. I wish they would just give a little more. So. But anyways, you know, if you're just looking for like a cool, like you know, fantasy romp, it's fun. Yeah. You know, definitely not for kids. Can't put that on with kids because there's nudity and stuff like that.
What I'm looking forward to is the Wheel of Time.
They're
making the Wheel of Time. I think we should cover that on the show if we're not in the middle of Star Trek. I would love to cover Wheel of Time. It's like my favorite fantasy book series of all time.
Really? Did you read all of them?
I'm almost done with the last book.
Get out of here.
I'm listening to the last couple on audiobook, but I'm like halfway through the last one on audiobook. I read the first
one. When are they making them?
It's for Amazon Prime. They're filming now, or they're in the middle of filming now in production and stuff. They've done a lot of casting. And it looks like, since there's like 15 books, it looks like they're trying to do 2 books a season, which is kind of scary because they're such big books. But at the same time, it's like you can't sign people up for 20 years on a show.
True.
So, yeah. I mean, even if they did like 10 seasons, that would be nice.
Yeah, they wanted to, I think like Apple TV or somebody wanted to do Isaac Asimov's The Foundation, mm-hmm. The series. Awesome. Well, it would be, but it. so weird because it doesn't take place like with one generation. It's like multiple generations, like empires fall and rise and stuff like that. Well, I don't know how you could tell that story.
You could do it make American history, American Horror Story style. Like do
a you'd season, have to
you do a season each empire or whatever.
You'd have to, but I don't know how they. Maybe they're just going to base their world within that and tell the like the loose framework of it. But I mean,
that's how they're doing the Lord of the Rings show. It just takes place somewhere in like the Third Age or something. Like it's like a long time. It's like a prequel to the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Oh,
okay,
I think it takes place in the first or Second Age, maybe, and then the stories we know take place in the Third Age or something. Like I don't know. Like it's a prequel, and it's like supposed to be very far removed time wise from the other Lord of the Rings stuff.
Mm. Well, if I can say, definitely watch Lock and Key if you get a chance. I would only say like at the very end, there's like two little like plot points. I'm like, you know, it's kind of screwy, stupid, but it doesn't like lose the show for me.
Yeah.
The Witcher, like I said, it's fun.